You know, there are certain moments in the rhythm of our lives where we're invited, in fact, we're almost compelled to remember. And Memorial Day is one of those events. You know, for many, it marks a transition. It's a long weekend. It's the beginning of summer, time with family and friends, but underneath it lies something incredibly important. A recognition that our lives were shaped by those who came before us. A quiet acknowledgement that what we have inherited didn't come without a cost. And even as we set aside the national expressions of this day, there is something deeply human, I think profoundly biblical, about remembering. Because throughout Scripture, God invites his people to remember. Right? Remember where you have been. Remember what God has done. Remember those who have walked faithfully before you. It's not an exercise in nostalgia, but as a practice, it shapes how we live today. And that's exactly where our Scripture begins. Right? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And that word therefore is important because it connects us to everything that came before it. You know, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is often called the Hall of Faith. It's a chapter filled with names and stories. We hear about Abram who went knowing before he knew where he was going. We hear about Moses who stood before Pharaoh with nothing but obedience. Or Rahab who risked everything on a fragile but real faith. David who trusted God even through failure. And many others. Hebrews chapter 11 just goes on and on. Some who experienced miraculous victories. We have those who endured suffering and loss and even death without seeing the promises being fulfilled. But every one of them lived by faith. Now the writer turns to us and he says that we are surrounded by them. Right? These aren't some distant figures in a history book. They're not spectators sitting in a stand passively watching our lives unfold. But they surround us as witnesses. And they testify to us. Their stories speak. Their faith declares something enduring and very, very true, that God is faithful. And when we begin to see that, it changes how we live. Because the Christian life isn't lived as a sprint, right? This is a race of endurance, and it was one that was never meant for us to run alone. Because this passage reminds us that we are a part of a much larger story, right? Since you are surrounded. Now, oftentimes, I think our faith feels very intensely personal. We say it's my faith, or it's my personal faith, or even worse, it's my private faith, right? It shows up in our private prayers. We wrestle through our doubts. It shapes our decisions in ways that others may never truly see. But while faith may be personal, right, not private, it may be personal, it was never meant to be isolated, right? From the very beginning, God was forming a people. Your life is not a disconnected story. Your lives, your faith lives, are a woven thread into something much larger. It's a story that spans generations. It's a story of redemption, of covenant, of grace. That when you follow Jesus, you step into a story already in progress. Right? None of us start at the beginning. None of us are starting from scratch. Others have walked this road before us. We follow people who trusted God even when the outcome wasn't clear. We follow people who obeyed even when the cost was high. We follow people who endured even though the path was long. And now their lives bear witness. I mean, just here as a church, in the past couple of weeks, we've had two wonderful examples of these people of faith that have gone on before us. And John Bender and Bill Swick. And countless others that have gone before us, that have lived lives of faith that are now surrounding us as part of that witness. And these people remind us that our faith is not built on ideal circumstances. They remind us that obedience is possible even when clarity is not. They remind us that God's promises are trustworthy, even when fulfillment seems distant. Because here's the humbling truth, that your life now becomes a part of the same story. That you are not just receiving a legacy, you are continuing one. And secondly, I also think this passage speaks to us because their lives continue to speak to us. This cloud of witnesses that surround us isn't limited to the pages of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 certainly gives us wonderful, powerful examples, but if we're honest, we have been shaped by people that we have known personally. Right, a grandmother that prayed for us long before we understood what they were doing. That parent that lived out a steady faith before us. The mentor who walked with us in our times of doubt and never let us give up. Or that friend who reminded us of the truth even when our hearts felt uncertain. Right? These are the witnesses that we carry with us, and their lives still speak. It may not always be audible, but if we are willing to listen, if we are willing to pay attention, they continue to speak powerfully. Right? They remind us that faith is not just something that we believe, it is something that we live. They show us that perseverance is possible, not because life is easy, but because God is faithful. They demonstrate to us that a life anchored in Christ leaves a lasting impact on others. And even if we would pause right now, likely you can see the people that we're talking about. You can hear their voices. You can remember their prayers. You can see the consistency of their lives. Because in a very real way, they are still bearing witness. They are a part of the story that is shaping you. And that realization, really, it should cause us to pause and ask a question. How are we running the race? Because the writer doesn't tell us who surrounds us, he tells us how to respond. He says, let us now throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Right? If we're going to run well, we've got to run intentionally. The imagery that the writer is using here is very vivid, right? It's this runner that is preparing for a race. And they're removing all these things that might have the potential to slow them down. Right? No excess weight. No unnecessary burden. And then the writer applies that to our own spiritual lives. Right? He talks about the everything that hinders. And these don't necessarily have to be sinful things. In fact, some of these things might be good things. But they have become weighty things to us, right? Because they crowd our attention, or they consume our time, or they subtly pull our focus away from Christ. Right? in our world today could simply be the pace of life. Our pace of life that leaves no room for simply being still before God. It might be the constant noise that surrounds us that drowns out the voice of God. It could be the habits that seem harmless at first, but then they weaken our spiritual attentiveness. And not everything that hinders us is wrong, but they still need to be released. And then the writer talks about this sin that so easily entangles, right? This is much more direct, because sin has a way of wrapping us up in it. It restricts our movement. It trips us up. It keeps us from running freely. And the truth is, you cannot run the race of faith while clinging to what entangles you. And the people who have gone on before us understand this. Maybe not perfectly, but intentionally. They knew that they had to lay certain things down. They knew that they needed to repent. They knew that they had to choose obedience again and again and again. And so do we. Because the Christian life doesn't drift towards faithfulness. It requires, on our part, deliberate surrender. A deliberate daily surrender. And then the writer gives us this key to endurance. He says, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Right? Again, this is not a short race. This is not about quick bursts of spiritual enthusiasm. It is about steady, sustained faith over time. And notice this. This is the race that is marked out for us. Because your race is not like anyone else's. Your circumstances are going to be different. Your challenges are going to be unique to you. Your calling has its own shape. Because comparison only trips us up. It only distracts us. Our goal is not to run someone else's race. It is to faithfully run the race marked out for us. So how do we do that? We're told to fix our eyes on Jesus. Right? This is the center of everything. Right? The witnesses matter. The great cloud that surrounds us, the cloud of witnesses matter, but they are not the focus. Jesus is. Right? He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who began our faith. And he will be the one that brings it to conclusion. Because consider what he endured, right? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus didn't avoid suffering. He entered it fully. He endured rejection. He endured injustice. He endured the cross itself. And he did it all with purpose. For the joy set before him. He saw beyond the immediate pain to a greater reality, redemption, restoration, and reconciliation. And because Jesus endured, we have hope. Because then we're told, consider him so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Incredibly practical verse that when your faith feels heavy, look to Jesus. That when your circumstances feel overwhelming, look to Jesus. That when you are tempted to give up, look to Jesus. Not as some distant example, but as a very present Savior. Right? The witnesses encourage us, but Jesus sustains us. And finally, this passage invites us to look forward, right? That one day that we will be a part of this cloud of witnesses for someone else. Your life is going to speak. But the question is, what is it going to say? What kind of witnesses are we becoming? Right? Not in terms of recognition, not in terms of influence as the world measures it, but in terms of faithfulness. Will your life testify that God is trustworthy? Will your life reflect endurance in difficulty? Will your life point someone else to Jesus? Because whether we realize it or not, right now someone is watching your race. There's a child looking at you, learning what faith is like. There is a friend who is walking through a season of doubt. There's a younger believer looking at you, trying to find their footing. There might be somebody looking at you who is quietly searching for hope. And they're not just listening to what you say, they are watching how you live. They notice what you prioritize, they observe how you respond to hardship. They are learning what it looks like to follow Christ through you. And one day, your story may be a part of what helps to keep them going. Because in the kingdom of God, legacy is not about fame, it is about faithfulness. It is about living in such a way that your life becomes a testimony. It becomes a witness. It becomes a reflection of the grace and the faithfulness of God. So on a weakness, when the world around us pauses us to remember, we receive a deeper invitation from Scripture. Remember those who have gone before you. Be strengthened by their witness. Lay aside what is holding you back. Turn from what entangles you. Fix your eyes on Jesus and run. Run with endurance the race that has been marked out for you. For you are not alone. You are surrounded. And you are sent. You are sent to live a life that will one day point someone else to this faithful God of ours. So keep running. When the path feels long, keep running. When the weight feels heavy, keep running. When the finish line seems far away, keep running. Not in your own strength, but by keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Because the same God who was faithful to Abraham, who was faithful to Moses, faithful to generations before you, is faithful still. And he is the one who will carry you all the way home. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we are so very grateful for the people of faith who have gone before us. Lord, the examples that Hebrews chapter 11 gives us. Lord, those names and faces that we remember who taught us, our Sunday school teachers from years ago, the men and women who greeted us as a door, who told us a children's sermon, who gave us a piece of candy, who encouraged us, who thanked us, who watched us sing. Thank you, God, for these faithful people you have placed in our path. And Lord, this morning we pray that we would follow their example, that we would be the faithful that someone else is looking to. Help us in this, dear Jesus. Allow your Spirit to empower us to live differently, to live faithfully. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray today. Amen. Amen. You know, as we remember on this Memorial Day Sunday, the gift of remembrance is powerful. Right, the gift of remembering the people who have gone before us, the people who have influenced us, the people who have loved us, the people of faith who have lived long before us. And we are part of that story. We are a part of what God is doing. And so let us continue to do that. Let us run the race that has been marked out before us. Let us pray. Again, gracious God, we are so very thankful for you. We are thankful for the influences in our lives. Lord, the people who helped us know right from wrong, who introduced us to you, who lived out faith before us. Jesus, thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, thank you on this Memorial Day Sunday for for all of what has come before us. Again, we are a part of an incredible story. And that story continues with us. And so help us to live in such a way that those who follow us would see us as faithful as well. Lord, not so that we can be glorified, but so that your kingdom would grow and expand. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Remember, next Sunday is 10 o'clock, one service at 10 o'clock, and we look forward to seeing you there.